Hello, gamers, and welcome to Game Warp. I'm Elwood.
I'm Kim.
And tonight we are looking at A Night in the Woods. A Night in the Woods is another indie title, surprise, surprise, being seen as this show. It's developed by Infinite Fall and published by Finji. The game itself sees you following 20-year-old May, a anamorphic cat who returns home from college, having inexplicably bailed, to return to the small mining town that she calls home, while at the same time reconnecting with friends and family, while working through the issues which led to her leaving college in the first place, and ultimately uncovering much darker secrets in the town. Now, Kim, was this on your high on your list of games that you wanted to play before we obviously reviewed it, or is this one that you sort of stumbled across like myself?
It's definitely one that was on my list because when it was released, I think that year it had a lot of nominations and it had won quite a bit of awards. Especially, I think it was for narration. Okay. So it's, you know, especially in the indie scene, games like this that show up tend to, you know, draw my attention a little just to see, you know, what all the hype is. And obviously right now we're talking about this a few years after the release of this game. So the hype has died down, so it's also a good time to check it out to, you know, not to be a little bit more, you know, unbiased, right?
Yeah. Although you say that, I can never remember who wins what when it comes to video game awards. It's so bizarre when it comes to, like, films and television. We all seem to know who won what, but when it comes to video games, I think it's because when you look at video game awards, it's normally, like, the one game that just, like, sweeps the board and wins everything every year. Whereas, like, other sort of forms of art, you have some sort of diversity there, and when it comes to video games, we sort of, like, have, like, those AAA game that sweeps everything, and then you have like the smaller little indie games that pick up like the more creative awards. So you have to excuse me for not remembering the fact that this won so many awards and was so critically acclaimed when it came out. So, but I mean, how do we describe this? I mean, this is a game which seems to skip back and forth between different genres. So I wasn't sure the best way to describe its genre.
I think pretty much, I don't know if you would explain the genre more than it's more of like a drama game. It's very story focused, narrative. In some ways I would even call this something of a visual novel. Because there is a lot of reading and you do spend a lot of time just having a lot of conversations with the people in town, and exploring this town. And through these conversations, you build up, you know, not only the story of May, but the problems that she has, maybe, you know, her relationship with her family, her relationship with her friends, as well as just how she is in her own skin, as well as the different things that are going on in the town as well. The little issues that might be, you know, there's like a kidnapping going on and missing kids, you know, a missing friend, pretty much. And essentially, you have a lot of little things that pop up that you slowly learn more. Obviously, the people that you interact with also have, you know, there's a lot to explore, I think, in the town. Little secrets that you have, I think that add to the charm, especially when you have her jumping on like telephone poles and rooftops, and you know, which makes sense because she is a cat.
Yeah, that is true. She's also a cat that plays bass in the world's most awful band. but yeah, the town of Possum Springs is another of those small towns with dark secrets. We've seen it already with like Arcadia Bay and Life is Strange, and again, this is very much the same here. However, to get said secrets, you're gonna have to really put in some slog. As this is really one of the game's biggest sort of downfalls, in that it is very much a slow burn, and while, you know, you in terms of like film and television, you think, oh well, slow burn's not a bad thing. In video game terms, it is very much a bad thing, since you've got something like 4 hours of gameplay before anything really exciting happens. And this is only added to by the fact that May can't run. You're forced to walk around this town, which is not small by any means either.
Well, I mean, she does run. She just doesn't run very fast, right? There's a walking pace and then there's a running pace, but then the running pace isn't really that big of a difference. Like, you can see the running motion, and then there's some parts where when she's with her friends that you don't really even have that running option when you're, you know, conversing and moving along. And But it is definitely true that it takes a while to, you know, as the days go by, the game is pretty much set in a structure of 12 days, and then an epilogue, where the structure of the game is really set where you have this day and you have this objective, whether it's band practice, and every single day gets bigger or longer because there's more to explore. The church area opens up, road construction ends, and then you have the following area to go, and another area opens up and you can move further, and even when you talk to your friends and they have parties or something, you get to go in other places where you're driving with them or whatever. And you have these little bits of conversation here and there. So, you know, I think that anything that resembles something that's very, I would say 80% or even 90% of this game is narrative and story focused. Whereas the rest of the 10% is like little mini games, you know, stealing pretzels and feeding rats and looking at constellations with a past professor or something like that, right?
It's really as riveting as it sounds, I assure you. This is like much like the Yakuza games. There's a lot of mini games to sort of which really form the actual gameplay element of this game. Combine that with the fact that when May goes to sleep, every day you get this wonderful mini game where you have to run around the city in the dark to find the spectral band players. And the first couple of times, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, when you finding all these things. By the about fourth or fifth time, it's bloody tedious as all hell. And the fact that everything's in silhouette, it's all in the dark, makes it just that much more of a pain in the ass to do. And there are many of these sort of like mini game tasks, like you can play bass, but I don't know about you, Kim, but I just seem to be making more noise than music whenever doing those bass sections. It turns into these little Guitar Hero style sections where you have to hit the right buttons, and I don't know, maybe you kids who are good at Guitar Hero would just be able to like nail it and make interesting sounds, but all I got was just a lot of like the game absolutely just like freaking out because I kept pressing the wrong buttons. So.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, rhythm games are kind of what I really like, so I thought that was a cute little addition to it, but it's not even obligatory. It's not like you have to play it. You could wake. I usually do it. I usually do like one in the day, and then at night before, like when you come back into the room before you go to bed, I do another one type of thing. They do have like a different type of songs and stuff. Pardon, what'd you say?
I just wondered if you managed to do it, or whether it's just like too insanely fast for anyone to do. So
I think there was one that was really the last one that they added in was really tough. The pumpkin head guy or whatever. That song was really, really tough. But other than that, I think most of them were okay. Like, they were pretty all right in my book.
Well, check out the nimble fingers on Kim.
I did play a lot of Guitar Hero. So I play a lot of Guitar Hero, you know, DDR and all that stuff. So it's my biggest issue was that I'm not used to the Xbox controller a lot. So
yeah.
It's one of the main things is that you don't really have to focus a lot on that stuff, but I thought it was, you know, still, I thought it was a really nice addition. You know, one of the more interactive games that's in there. But, you know, going back to what you were talking about the dream sequences, which happened, I think, over maybe 4 or 5 nights. I actually like those sequences quite a bit because it was really tedious because of all the platforming and all that sort of stuff. But I think that it drew a parallel to different things that you encounter later on in the game, like the town or where she travels later on to this other town where there's a party or something. I don't know. I don't know whether that storyline is the same. But we're going to talk about storylines after. But, I mean, what I really liked about the dream sequence, I thought the music was really great. And even for the game itself, I think one of the forces of the game, or one of the pros of the game, is definitely the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack had, not only did you have all those bass songs, which had some, you know, I didn't read any of the lyrics, but they had lyrics going on at the same time with some of the songs. And then you have a pretty cheerful type of music while you're running across town. And then when you get into the sequence and you have that whole four different instruments that you find that end up making the music, I think it sounds really, really, it's just, the process of it is really tiring, but the result is pretty, pretty good overall. But that's, you know, my take on it. I do really enjoy that type of music, so it's kind of my thing. for the game, I think one of the other points that it has is I think that everybody goes kind of a different path, because throughout the game, once you've established all your, you know, friendships again over the first 2-3 nights or something like that, you start having, you know, I think is it one or two nights maybe? And then by the third night, I think the third day, you start getting to choose which way, you know, who you choose to hang out with. So you get to choose B, who is a young shop owner who took over her parents' store. Or it's Gregory, who is this, I don't know, is it a coyote? who works at a convenience store, or something like that?
He's a gay fox with anarchistic tendencies.
Okay.
Who's like constantly mentioned by the boyfriend, but invites you to go for riveting games, such as go off to do like crimes where you break into a supermarket, or you can engage in a knife fight, which is apparently a really fun game for him and May. Or as I said, you can go off and fix like boilers with
B.
And then collect fireflies, because this is the sort of randomness that this game has. And you're playing through this and you're just like wondering what any of this means. And the fact that none of the dialogue is especially engaging, at least not to myself, it just felt so drawn out and tedious. But the fact that everything in this game being as slow as it is, I mean, you have to sit with your dad for four consecutive nights to get him to move some boxes. Which is just like the most tedious thing. It's all like, just move the damn boxes already. And then you have like an argument with your mum, which then just basically ruins the character, because she just comes off as this self-entitled brat, which I guess is more jaded on my part, being, you know, a fellow parent. To have a character that obviously doesn't respect the sacrifice their parents made, sends college just for her to drop out. It's probably just going to resonate a little more with the parent in me than probably, you know, you non-parent folk out there who probably side with May and her rebellious tendencies.
I don't know if anybody would side with May, but I think that in the end, what it is, I think in the end is that all these different things that are happening and all the little conversations that you have all amount to the fact that something is going on with May. And you don't really know what's going on, because every single night, when you're going through everything, you start having these, you know, you start having notions that she has deeper issues. Like before she goes to the party, she would look at the mirror and she's kind of shaming herself. The choice of dialogue you have, a lot of it is low self-esteem and, you know, just kind of looking down on herself a lot and her social abilities and stuff, and having a bit of, like, I guess a bit of social anxiety. And by the time you get to, you know, the end of the game, you start realizing in a chit chat with B, I don't know, because a lot of the conversations we're having, like, I don't know how the plot line changes, because with the different people you hang out, I don't know how in the end whether you get the same or not. But I mean, by you know, the end where I had the conversation, I don't know if you did, by the riverside type of thing, the whole conversation of her talking about the issues that she had and why she left college and all that stuff, we start seeing that, you know, May has a lot more issues. You know, she's dealing with this mental illness and this depression and things that she doesn't understand, and she's coming back to town to, because talk of, she's kind of running away, right? She's running away from what she's done, and like from school and the things that's happened, and in the process she's she's getting involved with this weird mining cult that seems to have some deeper plan in their for the town, right? It's just like, you know, 1 week back and things are not too hot for her. but no, I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, it's very hard to talk about how to feel about the game, because on one hand, I do think the pacing is really slow. There are a lot of conversations, and I did spend a lot of time talking to everybody, taking the time to really, you know, get to see what, you know, other conversations you can exhaust out of people. And, you know, I thought there was some comedy in it. It wasn't all too horrible. But a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is supposed to build up the town itself, build up Possum Springs, whether from the religion to the church to what's going on in the church to, you know, the different things that are going on, you know, what's happened, you know, what happened to this mining town, right? And all those things that are happening, it's all apparent in your conversation, in these little things. And it's all apparent about how people view May as well. Whether, you know, from her having this weird tendency to like to steal things and stuff, to other little bits, right? But the, you know, I don't know. I think that the center focus of the topic that they're trying to tell takes a bit too long to get to. That I actually thought looking at the constellations and having her, the whole conversation about the constellations and these, like, you know, made up constellations and the stories behind them was more entertaining than the story itself, like the big story. Oh, really? Itself.
I just struggled when I had the first couple of days of talking to everyone in the town, and then soon after that, it was just like, it's a straight beeline to my friends. I had no interest in talking to anyone because no one ever seemed to have anything especially interesting to say. And then you just meet weird characters like the goth kids in the woods and the feral kids that you encounter a bit later as well. So it's, when you look at the achievements of this game, there's a lot of tedious stuff you have to do. And it's like, not just on like one day, you have to like go back and do it like on 2 or 3 days worth of activities. Like, you find a group of rats in at one point in the game, and you have to feed them for 2 consecutive days to get the achievement point for it. And it's like, no, I just cannot be bothered to do that.
I don't know my game. I don't know whether it's a Game Pass on PC thing or whatever. But yeah. I didn't. I actually didn't get any achievements. Like no achievements popped up for me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So I don't even know what achievements there were available in the game. Because I did a lot of tedious stuff. Like I was hoping I would get achievement because I had played like the base every single day, and then I was hoping I would get it because I fed the rats whatever I could. And then, you know, stealing pretzels. I did a lot of like other things, and that was the reason why I explored everything. Like every single path every day would be the same. Like I would get out of the house, and you know, the longest trajectory is near the end when you can get out of the house. You can go on the other side of your house where the roadwork is done, and then walk on the edge of town and look at the sunset and look at the sign, you know. And then you walk back to the other side, and you can start going from there, where you can jump on mailboxes and walk on telephone lines. And I got all the constellations with the teacher, and then I talked to the person with the poems and listened to the poems every single day. And it was just like every single day I would talk to everybody, and then I would go to the church, and then I would explore every single part of the map. I did a really, really detailed job of this, of playing this game. I really wanted to get the whole story and the whole lore, because you really get the idea of this town that's kind of, I don't know, fading away. There's issues and everybody's having this different, you know, problems and whatnot. But yeah. I just think, you know, it for something to happen, you know, if you were talking about, if you're someone who, say, doesn't really like very story focused, a lot of reading, similar to visual novel, it's very, you know, everyday conversation sort of thing, I think, for most of the game. And
it is very banal sort of conversation for sure.
Yeah. But then, you know, you also have these parts where once you get past those first few days, and I think it was probably the first 5-6 days, like halfway through the game about, you have a big event. You know, B witnesses a kidnapping. And that's when the game kind of starts coming alive because, you know, a little bit. Because you start seeing, you know, finally something's going on. So they're going to explore and investigate with their friends to try and figure out what the problem is, and that leads to seeing these secrets that are going on. I actually think the second half of the game, while it was supposed to be a lot more, you know, action, it still was a little bit slow in the sense where the end, kind of like the last day, was kind of like all came crashing down at once a little bit too fast, I think.
Yeah, I think if they just included a run mechanic, that would have been, that probably would have heightened my enjoyment of this game. But just amble along and just have like very uninteresting conversations did not do this game any favors at all. Although I have to say, I was when you get to the Halloween section and you have to take part in a play, I did wonder how much you enjoyed that, because I know you really enjoyed the play sections in Before the Storm, and I was like, oh, there's another section like this for Kim.
it's a whole different, you know, it's a whole different game, right? When you're talking about Before the Storm was very entertaining. This one was, you know, you didn't really know what to choose. I honestly, when I was doing the play section, I was so confused. I just chose whatever I thought sounded better, and then I was like, okay, let's just do this.
Yeah. It's funny you say that they're so different, but it's sort of like when you look at Before the Storm, which is this small town, dark secrets, and lots of busy work. And then you look at Night of the Woods, which is small town, dark secrets, lots of busy work. It's kind of the same.
I think like the main difference is that I don't have an issue with busy work. I think that sometimes, you know, it's like watching a best comparison is, as we're both also movie reviewers, is when you compare to movies who are like indie movies where it's very, very subtle, very, very slow burn. And it's a lot of that little things, right? The little subtleties of the stuff that are coming in. And if you relate it to a game, it's the same type of concept of what this game is. It's just, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning, as a game, you kind of expect something a little more entertaining because you're not watching something. You want to be interacting with it. You want to have a deeper, you know, involvement in what's going on, whether it's even just more platforming or more action or whatever, you know? But, you know, something that, you know, the game is not hard to play. That's the thing, is there's no challenge. It's not hard to play. It's just a lot of reading. So I think, you know, a lot of times it's really, are you really in the mood for something like this more than, you know, the mood and the patience that is put into this more than what the game is? Because I think the end goal of the game is worth mentioning, because I think the end game of this whole thing is talking about how depression comes bit by bit, and it kind of creeps into your life when you least expect it. And that, at least that's how I read it by the end of the game. But that's the thing, is everybody has their own problems and you don't really know it, and everybody makes assumptions of each other, right? That you think someone's doing really well when they're not. And there's a lot of these little things that create this kind of conversation. But I kind of feel like a lot of it is in the second half of the game, and it's kind of like how many people are sitting through the first half and then being like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to get through all of this mundanity and then be like, okay, well, now I'm, you know, now things are happening and I'm ready for all of this second half conversation where there's more stuff going on and more things to discover and whatnot, relatively, right?
Yeah. So maybe, as I said, maybe when we were at the height of lockdown, this maybe would have been a different sort of game where we had nothing but time. This would have been perhaps a different experience to myself, and instead we were just all busy playing Animal Crossing and and building our alternate internet lives. So maybe, as I said, maybe it's just a timing thing, really. So, but no, as I said, for myself, this game didn't really do much for myself. Did you enjoy it, Kim, though?
I'm kind of on average right now. I don't think I enjoyed it a whole lot. It kind of made me fall asleep in the first half.
Yeah, that's never a good sign, is it? And it's not,
but
like
see, that's the thing is, I'm starting to think, like, is the second half, like, is, you know, the sum of the good things makes the game better? And I don't know. I don't really think so. You know, the best part is the game offers you two little mini games, you know, two extra games that they released before the release of this game originally, as extras. And that's The Longest Night and Lost Constellation, which actually is a lot more fun than the game itself, because Longest Night is where you look up constellations and you kind of like connect the dots and then you find these constellations and then all the friends are together around the fire and they're talking about these constellations. And in some ways that's pretty entertaining because they also add that music element. And then the second game uses one of the characters in the constellation and creates her story as she's walking through the forest, and you get to throw snowballs and that sort of stuff and have these like quirky conversations with building snowmen and stuff. So yeah, it's a little bit more interactive than the game itself, that is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So if you talk about it like as the main game itself, I mean, I personally wouldn't go back and play it. I don't really, like, I get that what they're trying to say and the conversation they're, like, the topic they're trying to talk about is important. But I just think that when you compare a game like this and, say, the last game that we reviewed, Sea of Solitude, which also talks about pretty important, I guess, you know, self-doubt and that sort of thing, I think that, you know, Sea of Solitude carries that type of message a lot better.
Yeah. I think Sea of Solitude certainly I enjoyed more, if we're talking about games that are obviously focusing on the message of the games. We've done a few now of these sorts of games which tackle the harder issues, especially with, like, mental health. And as you said already, we did Sea of Solitude. We did the Literary Society. Which was an eye-opening novelization game. And then we've obviously done this one as well. So I think Sea of Solitude, I think, did many of the same things, but just better. Certainly, it gave us more of a game.
Yeah.
Even though it did obviously suffer from its own reputation issues there. But, yeah. I say I'm not in a rush to return to this one either myself, so... anything else you want to bring up at all?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of tonight's episode. Thank you for listening. If you haven't done already, please do hit the like and subscribe button where you have you haven't listened to us. You can follow us on Facebook, and we are on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also check out our blog, which is gamewarpblog.wordpress.com. But until next time, thank you to my co-host Kim, and we'll be back soon with another game to review. But until then, good night. Some people are one way, and that's how they stay. Some people find one life, and they live that way. Hey man, have you seen her around? Have you seen her today? Someone until they're gone.